Blog Talk Radio.
Twisted Tuesdays with the Twisted Sisters. I hope everyone's having a good week so far, and I hope everybody's having a great New Year's so far. I mean, we are on the fourth of the year. Woohoo! It's a good start, I think. And hello, Pam, and hello, Naomi.
Hello, hello.
How are you tonight?
Oh, we're great. Well, I'm great.
Can't beat that.
A great start of the year.
Well, you know, you can't beat that. Every start is a good start. Okay, kids. Well, look, Naomi, you go ahead. I want you to start off by letting everybody know what's going on for the show, and I'm listening.
Okay. Yep. Well, we have 8 carryovers from the last show, so we're going to do those, go through those first tonight from the show, the pop art show. And then I put up a little, well, a little contest with only 10 entries. Like I just pulled these amazing photographs off the Facebook and off the internet, these amazing pictures that photographers had taken, and I thought they were amazing anyway, and a few quotes that I thought were great, and I just put them together, and yeah, so people wrote to them, so was a little contest there, last minute thing. So we have 10 entries, amazing rights to that too. So in all, we have quite a few great rights tonight. So I'm anxious and excited to get going.
Oh, for sure. Looks like you have an awesome lineup of poetry tonight.
Absolutely.
Yeah, the people were really, really inspired by some of those photographs. Like they were amazing pictures. So I'm glad that people were inspired. So,
yeah.
You want us to start off right away?
Oh, whenever you're ready.
Okay. So we're going to start off by putting up Tilla, and she was supposed to phone in tonight, but she was working overtime, and she said that she probably might phone in next week, so I'm looking forward to that. So I'm going to put up her write, and Pam, if you can give that a read by Tilla.
Yeah.
Or maybe I should. Oh yeah, you read it.
Oh, go for it.
There's my name in there, so you read it.
Okay. All right. Sounds good. This is "Let's Rock the Party" by Tilla, and it goes like this: Party's on. Why wait? Let's enjoy all the champagne out. My favorite baby champagne too. We all are invited to Sarah and Naomi's party. You know where? Just follow me to Niagara Falls. Beautiful, colorful lights on. You will get plenty to taste. Delicious pecan pie made from maple syrup by our Naomi. Let's rock the party. Music is on. Let's wake the whole Canada. Wishing the whole world best of 2022. End poem.
Yeah, Tilla, she's so cute, so sweet. Yeah, and we do have the best pecan pie with maple syrup. It's true. Like, and that's one of my favorite. She didn't even know this, and she nailed it, you know, because that's one of my favorite pies of all time. I mean, oh. Incredible pecan pie with maple syrup. Oh, so delicious. So I love this little light. And yeah, good way to start off the new year. This little piece here. Yeah. What, Jean, what did you think?
Oh, I thought it was great. I thought it was fun. And, you know, you know, a good number one, it went with the prompt, okay, the popping of the cork for champagne. You know, the New Year's angle of that. just celebration. I mean, I really think that she nailed it very, very nicely. And, yeah, it just was a fun and happy piece. So I like that about it. Nice little feeling.
Yeah. She really nailed it because, I mean, we rocked it here at our house. My gracious, my kids are just like crazy. we're all crazy, you know, and we're wild and we're loud. And, you know, one of my friends was here, and he went down to take to Quebec City, and he came into the door. It was like 4:30, and I was receiving for supper around 6, and all my kids were here. And, like, my girls were dancing all over the house, and the music was on, and they were singing, and we were all, like not drunk, but, you know, we had drank. And it was only 4:30, you know. Supper was at 6, and we were already, you know, like, you know, tipsy there. And, you know, and it was loud and crazy, and he just went, oh, okay, what did I just walk into? I said, yeah, well, welcome to party at my place with my kids. So anyway, so we had fun. And Pam, what did you think of this little piece?
This was absolutely delightful. I like that it threw at the prompt that it had this celebratory tone. You know, I honestly had never thought of making pecan pie with maple syrup, but it makes sense to me now that it's like one of those things I've never thought of doing, but seeing it, I'm like, yeah, that would actually work. I also appreciate that she's just waking up Canada and not the United States, so, you know, me and Jean get to sleep. But, I really enjoyed it. There was definitely a smile-inducing right and very well done.
Yeah, indeed. So thank you, Tilla, and Happy New Year to you if you're listening. Well, she's probably at work, but, I mean, maybe she has a break. Maybe she's listening. Okay. So let's go on here, and let's put up. Martha was supposed to phone in. She told me she'd phone in tonight, but she has two songs. So let's put up a little bit of Martha right away, and maybe she'll phone in later and we can put in her second one. So we have a SoundCloud for that one.
Now, which one is
it?
The one that knows. The one that knows.
Oh,
okay. Is that the key? Is that the count? Yeah.
Pardon me?
Which, okay, hold on.
If it's a carryover, Naomi, which one it is?
Oh, it's a carryover.
Yeah, it's
okay,
the carryover.
Yes.
The carryover.
Okay.
The one that
got
knows.
It. Okay, here we go.
Thanks, so.
Okay.
The One That Knows by Martha Gavel. Yes, I'd rather be the one that knows, even if I have to stand and watch you go. I'd rather know the truth than be the fool, the one that I see kissing you, the one whose love you're going to take, the one whose heart you're going to break, the one you will lie to every day until you just up and walk away, kissing you. I spent my time kissing you, and you left me looking like a fool. I never could believe one thing you'd say until you told me you were walking away. She'll find out in due time what you are. You might shine, but you're no star. I tell her, but she won't listen to me. She's too caught up in what might be. Kissing you, I spend my time kissing you. and you left me looking like a fool. I never could believe one thing you'd say until you told me you were walking away. You hold her to you so tight, you whisper in her ear you feel so right, but you are going to do her wrong, 'cause in your heart you're already moving on.
Now, what a great song from Martha here about those bad boys that we love to hate and those charmers that are sweet talkers until they break your heart. And, well, some women are like that, maybe. Yeah. you'll hold her to you. So I'm just thinking of myself here a little bit. Oh, boy, bad girl, Naomi. You'll hold her to you so tight, you'll whisper in her ear, you'll feel so right, but you are going to do her wrong, because in your heart, you're already moving on. Yeah, they whisper in your ear, promises and everything, and then, yeah, they just, you know, move on. And I love how she captured this, that prompt, and this song reads like a little tale here. You see her, you see this woman, she's looking, she's watching as these, you know, her ex-lover is meeting up with this other girl, is holding her, is, you know, talking to her, kissing her, whispering. And I love how this tale unfolds here. And this is a great, great song, Martha. And Pam, what did you think of this?
Well, before I comment, I would like to let you know that Martha has joined us. So welcome, Martha.
Oh,
glad you could join us.
Hello, Martha. Hey,
hello.
Just in time. Yes, yeah. Just in time, Martha.
Yeah, I thought this was a wonderful song. I like the chorus with the lines, I never could believe one thing you'd say until you told me you were walking away. It's the saddest thing, one thing that you can believe of a person is that they're abandoning you. I like how you captured the emotion and the sadness that you get from the artwork. And I really like the lines, the one whose love you're going to take, the ones whose hearts you're going to break, the one you will lie to every day until you just up and walk away. Just powerful lines there, and very well done, Martha.
Thank you.
Yeah, indeed. This was one of my favorites that you've written so far, Martha. I really, really enjoyed it. And Eugene, what did you think about it?
That damn Eugene again. Just playing. I think this is a great job. I love how you wrote it. I love how you you put it in perspective. The one, where is it? So find out in due time what you are. You might shine, but you're no star. I tell her, but she won't listen to me. She's too caught up in what might be. You know, I thought that was how true. You know, when you get caught into something that's, you know, just really, you just know it's no good, and you know it's not about you. You really do want to warn people, but you know it's not worth it because nobody's going to believe you anyway. they just won't because they've got their own ideals, you know. So, but I think you did a good job with it, and nice work.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it's so true what you say, Jean A. Love's blind. I mean, when you're in love and even not like true love, but I mean, you just have those butterflies in your stomach there, and you're just, you know, you don't see straight, you don't walk straight, you don't feel straight, your head isn't screwed on straight, and everybody warns you, but you know. You don't just listen to anybody, and I think your song captured that so, so well, Martha. Just amazing. Hi, Robbie on the board. Nice to see you. And Christine, I think. Okay, we're going to go on to Kurt K. And if Martha, if you want to give that one a read.
Okay, I got to get it up here. Okay, here we go. By Kurt Key, my 30th. A marble strip, pristine border, twixt stain-soaked lands of bed and life. 4 inches of luscious rock to glisten this murky den. Dancing with the wine glass, toasting worn-off youth. End poem.
And I laughed at this because with my 30th, dancing with a wine glass, toasting off youth. Yeah, I wish I was 30 again. This is an excellent write, Kurt. Indeed, those rock and roll years are like 4-inch nails that dig into you and wear you down. I think he was talking about, you know, the he was writing to the prompt of, I changed them around, but that was used to be the prompt of Elton John there. So, yeah, the rock and roll years. And each line is so cleverly thought out in this brilliant brevity here. So, bravo, Kurt. Pam, what did you think of this brevity?
Oh, I thought this was a wonderful brevity. I personally would not wish to go back to my 30s, but I do like how this gives a nod to Elton John with 4 inches of luxurious rock, and the imagery of dancing with a wine glass was really just delightful. So a really nice kind of nod towards youth and its slow demise. Or quick demise, depending on how you look at it. Very well done.
And Martha, you read that amazingly. What did you think of this little brevity?
I really like it. I like the way it takes a simple thing like a border and turns it into a really good metaphor. It's really a really good poem.
I know. That was a great observation there. So true. And Jean?
Well, I thought it was a great brevity for sure. And, I like the imagery in it. It kind of just gives you a quick snapshot. And, it says a lot, though. And I think it was nicely done. So excellent job, Kurt.
Yeah, this was a great little brevity. Really, like he didn't waste one word here, so cleverly written all the way through. And we're going to put up a SoundCloud next by Eric Finson. I'm going to pop it in here.
Hi.
Oh, and hello, Mammy on the board.
All right, you got it on the board?
Yeah, all right. We have a party out here, there on the board.
Here we go.
Pups, penumbras and emanations of color interject like clustered tangerines in Vietnamese open-air market. Sunny orange countenance eyes Malabar spinach, pastiche of green leaves blush inwards. Beet green sport purple flecks, like some crazy artist dribbled streets of paint. Precocious bok choy students raise their heads, keen to make a connection with all the perplexing penumbra. Elliptic leaf of Kai eulogizes all emanations. Curly kale heads Shirley Temple. Canary yellow sunflower heads Cha-Cha. Lemon drops and licorice. Campbell's soup can colors stack markets proscenium arch. Art pops, eyes open, shutter shock of senses, ears pinprick, immobile hands butterfly, dragonflies take to the skies. Swift change of direction, it's a new day, it's a new dawn. Pop art plethora ignites fireflies. 15 minutes of insight flames like Warhol's fame quote. Didactic dance of color has the E equals MC2 power. Bogged down body feels dreary until the speed of light squared sets in motion kinetic energy. Mardi Gras rainbows gay goose step marches. Penumbras and emanations of color connects happy hearts. Tints, touches up, redoes split end hair synapses. Let the sun shine in. End poem.
There was just brilliance in each line here in this, right? The way he took the prompt and shaped it into this fantastic piece. I mean, he took the prompt, and but he, all down the poem, he just popped in all these references to pop art. I mean, everywhere. And his metaphors, I mean, oh my gracious. You know, he had a canary yellow sunflower heads, Cha-Cha, and lemon drops and licorice and Campbell's soup cans, color stock, markets, percentium arch, and art pops and eyes open and shutter shock of senses and ears pinprick. I mean, he goes all the way down. And I love his reference to Einstein there, E equals MC2 power, like the color, the pop art. It's just like it's squared, you know. It's the energy there that comes out of pop art. And he also has the reference to songs in here. And all the way down, I mean, this is just absolutely magnificent to write here. And Jean, what did you think of this write?
Well, I'm going to try off mute button this time. But I think that it's a very intricate write, just as Eric's other writes are. I loved all the references to the pop art. I loved all the references to the songs throughout. And I thought he pulled it together beautifully. You know, as you're going down and you're reading about the different, like the Campbell's soup can or the Shirley Temple curls and, you know, what have you, then all of a sudden he'll throw in a line from a song and it's like, okay. So he paints an incredible picture with all this. And it's very interesting, and I think I'm just a little jealous because, like, I don't know how you pull all these different angles together and make it work, but he sure does every time. Great job, Eric. Really well done. Yes.
And Pam?
Well, I really like how his write is filled with color and energy and creative imagery. And like you said, there's so many nods to the pop art itself, like the Campbell soup can. I really like Precocious Bach choice strings raise their heads. And I like how he says lemon drops and licorice, but it's like spelled like liquor, which makes me think of that Jägermeister stuff that has that black licorice flavor. There's just so many clever pop reference, references in here. I also really like where in the last stanza he combines art and science together, and wonderful use of the word penumbras. So very cool, right, all the way through, and very well done.
Oh, indeed. Like the way he takes all the words and fits them together to form this amazing poem. I mean, the play on words all throughout, it's just stunning. And Martha, what did you think?
Oh, I loved it. I thought it was really nice, all the color references and the familiar things, and it's just a really feel-good poem.
Yeah, indeed. It's like a nod, really a nod to pop art there. It's as if he painted pop art on the page here. Okay, we're going to go through it to another great SoundCloud by Rama. I put it on the board, Life Art, All Our Artists, Life Art Canvas by Rama.
All right, just let me know when you have it on the board.
Yeah, it's on the board, Pam.
Okay, thank you.
We all are artists, our life a canvas. Final painting, determined by our strokes and colors. Every stroke of our brush counts. All adds up to create a beautiful life. Lead a thoughtful life. Every word you speak, every act you do, has far-reaching consequences. They impact people, their minds, has potential to create and destroy. And when we destroy, we suffer along with others. Our conscience speaks. Karma bounces it back to us like boomerang. Paint a beautiful picture in the canvas of life. It will give bountiful joy.
Just such beautiful words of wisdom and truth along every line here, Rama. I just enjoyed this write so much. It's so deep and thought-provoking. Those last lines paint a beautiful picture in the canvas of life. It will give bountiful joy. And indeed, and she talks about karma, how it bounces back at us like a boomerang. And you know, all the way through this rite, it's just so spiritual, and so you know, it gives us a little nod here to the, you know, be careful. You know, the new year's coming in, and watch your ways, and create a beautiful life for yourself and for others around you, and just take heed here. You know, these words of wisdom right here. And Pam, what did you think of Rama's write?
Yeah, I have to agree with you. This is a beautiful spiritual write. I like that she reminds us that all of humanity has the potential to be an artist by showing people the beauty of life and the beauty of love through your actions. I really like the lines, every act you do has far-reaching consequences. They impact people, their minds, has potential to create and destroy. The human mind, the human tongue is such a powerful thing, and it does have that ability to either create or destroy. And karma bounces it back to us like a boomerang is a wonderful thought and the idea of karma and the good that gets passed around from person to person. So very well done.
No, I agree. Amazing comment, Pam. And Jean?
No, I really like this piece, and I like the metaphor she used throughout. I mean, you know, life is a canvas, you know, and And we do paint our picture on it as we go along. Some would say, well, it's like a notebook, and we write our picture, but write our story. But the picture is really what it's about as well. You know, we can make it as beautiful or as dark as we like. So, I mean, I think that that's, you know, a job well done there. Nice work, Rama. Enjoyed it.
Yeah, indeed. And Martha, what did you think?
I thought it was really good. It's a great truth, well expressed, that we should apply all of this to our lives.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's exactly it. Those are words of wisdom there, Martha, that you just said. And, great advice for the new year indeed. And thank you so much, Rama, for your SoundCloud. So appreciate it. Love to, we always love and enjoy. Such a delight to hear your voice, your poetry spoken in your voice. Okay, I have one up.
And Naomi?
Crackling. Yeah.
Before we move on, I'd like to welcome Rex to the show. Welcome, Rex. Glad you could join us.
Oh, wow.
Hello.
Hi, Rex.
Hello.
An honor to have you. So happy you're here. Rex, well, since you're here, hey, I'm going to get you right to work, Rex, and you're going to read the next. The next write that I just popped in on the board.
Okay. All right. There you are. Pop, Crackle, and Punch by Doll in the Cupboard. This draws a line in my little eye on remembering an old-timer expression. The cartoonist's artwork exhibit always lends an ear to step beyond, for cartoon has a way of getting underneath blankets of disguise. The pop reminds me of big moments, the art of popping without creating a fizzy mess lathe in the art of the waiter. A bartender rarely pulls the cork. It's quite a bit of muscle needed to pop it without a bubbly extravaganza of Niagara River Falls, or did I mean Viagra? One can't pop pills whilst popping corks. I'm not going down that road. This is a dignified poetry competition. I've just put my Liverpoolian hair rollers in. They're pink. I've been to the shop, the local one. Not my favorite one now. The dude behind the counter gave me the evil eye. I know why. Well, it's his fault, not mine. Back to vital statistics of the incredible cartoonist's photo, I'm beckoned as an invited to enter. Thus, oh, my pink roller. One of them landed in the coffee. Murdering big old mice is one thing, my dears, but please don't make me drown a baby mouse again. I had nightmares. I guess it's looking for his dad, the mouse. I murdered him yesterday. I can't go on being a mouse murderer. I might get 25 years in a cell. It's on the line for a kiddie's arm. Back to pop, hop, pop, popping, hop. I'm pretty cool at cork pulling. Just get out of my way. Out of the bullseye pitch. I'd hate it, the cork to hit you in the eye. Even worse, if it were to land on your third eye, you wouldn't be able to meet me at the party in the fifth-dimensional party, and would you? Within the cartoon I'm moving in on, there's a fire moves around the top of the bottle. It reminds me of Earth, Wind, and Fire, the band. After all, there is wind from the fizzy bubbles emerging with air. It could be that the cork had to fight war with viruses in midair on the way out. Imagine that, popping virus cork. Sure makes one want to head for the outdoor garden room before attempting a popping moment. We might find a killer spray for eliminating viruses. I don't think Mr. Trump's idea of bleach was sane. However, it did give me a good laugh. We got to laugh or we would go insane. That's what the leaders want, of course. Let's get popping. Do put your pills in your top pocket first, or my mice army might eat them. It's bad enough being a mice murderer. I can't cope with mice getting high on bee or spaced out any of the now legal in some states organic mushroom powder. I think it begins with the letter C. I return to my mice torture program. Funny how most fascinating subject matters begin with C, or be it a wee, wee, wee. It's a wee cold down under in London town today. Yeah, yeah, Merry Christmas. Don't be good, be outrageous. We only have 9 lives. Yvette Louise Mellick. Oh. And poem.
Oh, this was an absolute delight. I mean, she just went on a roll here. Oh, my gracious. This was just absolutely hysterical. She took all the popping and the everything, you know, and it did, you know, like the way it was written. It was like a piece of pop art on the page, because the pop art is just like goes everywhere, you know. It just pops with that color and with the kiss and the, you know, sometimes people say it's absolute nonsense and there's cartoon and there's pasted on pieces all throughout, and it's just like sometimes graffiti all over the place. And this is what this piece, you know, kind of, I think, reflected here. And plus it was, I mean, it was just hilarious. And, it was just so fantastic how she took the art and composed such, you know, awesome lines and the playfulness throughout. And I bet she had such a hoot composing this piece. It was just so clever, just brilliant. Bravo. And Rex, you read that so brilliantly. I mean, you put the emphasis into it, and it was just an amazing read. What did you think of this piece?
Well, outside of murder, mice murdering, I think there's a lot more going on in here, because that champagne cork popping kind of hits on the note of popping other corks, so to speak, as she lets in on, oh, Viagra, not Niagara River, but Viagra. And then the thought down to the bottom end with the, oh, isn't it how funny all good things start with C? Yeah, there's some earth, wind, and fire in this. And this was supposed to be a party popping, cork unstopping virtue signal to, yo, it's booty call.
Yeah, amazing comment. And Jean, I hear you giggling. What did you think of it?
Well, you know, I kind of agree with the idea that, excuse me, it is kind of like a piece of pop art all its own. You know, it pops from here to here, and you know, it's kind of like a string of fireworks. You know, it's like it's going off over here and back over here, and you know, there's a whole lot of ideas going on in here, and I like that, because you know, you don't really know where it's going. You know, you just have to kind of follow the path, follow the crumbs. It's always wonderful, you know, not always, but you know what I mean. But I think it was very well done, very clever piece.
Yeah,
I think that, that prompt. So. Nice work, doll in the cupboard, for sure.
I love, you know, it's so funny how she says, you know, where was it? When we go, I'm not going down that road. This is a dignified poetry competition. And then she goes and she has that line, you know, I'm in a mice murdering program there. This is so neat. And Pam, what did you think of it?
I really enjoyed this. I thought the vibe of this poem fit really well with the vibe of pop art. There's some wonderful tidbits of humor. Extravaganza of Niagara River Falls, or did I mean Viagra? I even like how she has that tidbit of wisdom in the end after the ha-ha, hee-hee. Don't be good, be outrageous. We only have 9 lives. I like the idea of, you know, live life to the fullest. I also really like where she mentions the pink curlers, and you know, there's just some, like I said, wonderful humor around here. And I'm pretty cool at cork popping. Just get out of my way, out of the bullseye pitch. I hate it, the cork to hit you in the eye. Like, it's funny to me, someone saying I'm pretty good at popping a cork, but you might want to stand out of my reach of my aim. So, and then the part where it says there's a fire mood around the top of the bottle reminds me of Earth, Wind, and Fire, you know, the band. And I thought that was just a really clever nod to the kind of, you know, disco 70s music that you could see being played in a party-like atmosphere that, you know, like Andy Warhol and other pop artists were at. I thought this was very cool and very well done.
Yeah, I agree. The pink rollers were like, for a hoot. It was so funny. And Martha, what did you think?
I thought it was really good. I don't know much about pop art, but I thought it was like one of those crazy cartoons that you have to really follow close to even keep up with. It was jumping all over the place, and it was really fun.
Indeed, yeah. And she has short stories up, so I invite people to go over and check her out, this poet, and get links to her short stories, because they're just amazing. And okay, so we're going to go on to the next write, and Dean, will you give that a read for us, please, by Nikki Kelly.
Sure thing. Give me 2 seconds here. Okay. Did I hear something wrong? Okay, She Restored Her Faith in Men by Nikki Kelly. He adores, he loves you. So why is it there's a nagging doubt? You notice subtle changes. Or is it your old insecurities about? In a previous relationship, you adored, you loved, was loved, never had reason to question, came out of the blue, was numbed. Left you for another woman, and you ask why you wasn't enough. Heartache you've never felt. Why did love have to be so tough? Took years to recover, to heal, and to be able to trust another man. Deep down, the hurt never leaves you. You just bury it as all you can. Sorry. You weren't looking for love. Then love came looking, found you. Stored your faith in men. Just seemed too good to be true. He adores, he loves her. So why is it he has a nagging doubt? She comes clean, explains, sit down, deep down, hurt what it's about. She has been able to get to let go of the hurt stopping her moving on. They love and adore each other. She has finally met the one. So sorry. Wow, I tore that one up, and I apologize.
Well, this was a raw, real write. I feel maybe, you know, was personal to the poet here. It was powerful, straightforward words, so well used. And just an awesome piece. And Pam, what did you think about it?
I really like this. To me, one of the most impressive things about this write is that she took an inherently sad picture that could have inspired a completely sad write, but this isn't completely sad, you know, especially as it gets to the end, because it's all about that healing that happens when you find the right relationship. When you find that relationship, it's somebody that you can open up to, that you can tell them everything, including, you know, about your past, and feel like that together your healing. I really like in this, it took years to recover, to heal, and to be able to trust another man. Deep down, the hurts never leaves. You just bury it all you can. And I think that those makes that stanza there makes some important points about healing, that it isn't an overnight process, that sometimes you just have to push things down. And then the ending, of course, was really just wonderful. And the whole idea of loving each other and being able to move on from the past. So very well done.
Yeah, and she wrote to me, I live in hope of finding that one. And, you know, Shine, I'm so, and she was inspired. She loved the prompt. And I'm so happy, Nikki, that you were inspired, and I hope you find that one. And Rex, what did you think of this write?
It's very melancholic. She's got that that single line up top, he adores, he loves you, and then the that creeping, nagging doubt, which is clearly hers. She owns up to that, or is it rolled into securities about. Now she's taken that stanza and then moved that very same one to the sixth spot as a second read, but then she turns it where now it goes, he adores, he loves us, so why is it he has a nagging doubt? She comes clean, explains that that deep down hurt, what it's about. So she went through this whole thing of melancholy, her angle, but because of what she brought to the table, it now creeped into him, and finally she owns up to that, which is always been the cross she bears, the extra baggage she carries around with her. And with that tidbit of honesty, you get the last stanza, which ends up being a pleasant note to a very melancholy write.
Yeah, like new hope, a opening up. So, yeah, new hope, the new year, great write for the new year. Hope and new love, finding new love. And Jean, what did you think of this write?
Jean, be right back.
Oh, Jean will be right back. And Martha?
I thought it was really good. It's a really good deal of a relationship and the healing that can be required because of the past and the things that you've gone through, and that how you both have to deal with it. It's not something you can do on your own. It takes two to get over it.
Indeed, yeah, it's true. And, yeah, sometimes it takes its long, but, you know, you get there and you meet that special someone. And so I'm going to put up Jaskaran, and he has an audio, so if we can press on that.
The mystery of rebirth. Some battered and then assailed, an inkling of hope lingers in sunset afterglow. At the birth of night, my appearing skin so alluring, and leaping eyes ensnared as feet sees over abode of the angel. Kiss wildly to peel, feet Clementine fortitude, model city, tears on a bosom, takes him to a pit stop. Summer in Cornwall, taking a long human road on foot to the sea, a dream, always a thing in their mind. All these words are the schemes of things, keeping out of the pain, that we were couldn't share with anyone. All these inks are the tears that never made it to the eyes or broken heart. In peace and silence, feeling like a sip of cinnamon, mulled in wine, the setting sun, 10 miles of snow, changing colors, before giving God all heritage to the thin moon. I can feel sure hands creeping under my skin, the old cloth immersed in stillness, phantom breath filling a lungs, It takes a brown colored machine, mixes passing darkness on the sky, and lead in transcendence between heaven and earth. Thank you.
Now, I just love this, right? I mean, there's so much richness, you know, just blown away. Jask has this way of writing that, you know, it just pulls you in, and it's just beautiful. And it's there's a peacefulness about his writing, I think, and it's like a spirituality, a deepness, a richness that surrounds it. All these words are the screams of things creeping out of the pain that people couldn't share it with anymore, with anyone. All these inks are the tears that never made it to the eyes of a broken heart. In peaceful silence feels it like a sip of cinnamon mulled in wine, the setting sun, 10 miles of snow changing colors before giving guard of his heritage to the steaming moon. Like, oh my gracious, I wish I could write like that. Jask, it's just so so brilliantly composed here. And Rex, what did you think of this amazing write?
Well, the title belies what he's got in here, The Mystery of Rebirth. It hits on the notion of rebirth, but you can't have rebirth without death. And he handles that in here because you got that last line. It says, I laid in transcendence between heaven and earth. So there's a kind of in-between world at that moment. But there are two pieces in here that I really like. The wildly to peel sweet clementine fortitude, mortal sweaty caress in my bosom, takes them to a pit stop, summer in Cornwall, taking a long Roman road on the foot to the sea, a dream, always ushering in their mind. And then also, in peaceful silence, feels like a sip of cinnamon, mulled in wine, the setting sun, 10 miles of snow, changing colors before giving guard of his heritage to the steaming moon. So there's and then that last one here, it kind of hits on that note of impending. I can feel shriveled hands creeping under my skin, the old clock immersed in stillness. There is that note right there of death, and then phantom breaths filling my lungs. So you get that note to rebirth, but you can't have the rebirth itself without actually having that impending death take place. I like that thought with a peeling sweet clementine, orange peel of fortitude. That's really a nice thought there. Something sweet instead of bitter in the moment.
Indeed, amazing comment there, Rex. And Pam?
Yeah, I really like, first of all, what Rex had to say about that connection between you can't have rebirth unless there's death. Stanza with the sweet clementine fortitude was really stunning. I particularly was drawn to the lines, summer in Cornwall, taking a long Roman road, one on foot to the sea. There's really this idea of a journey, a spiritual journey. And I like how in the end he connects, has that transcendence that happens between heaven and earth. And I also really like, before giving guard of his heritage to the steaming moon, there's this whole idea of just the release of a former self to become a new self. It's just absolutely a stunning light and very well done.
Ah, yes, indeed, I agree. And is Jean back?
I don't know. But do you remember that you have Martha on? Because I haven't heard you ask her to comment in
yeah.
a while.
Yeah.
Okay. Also,
yeah.
before you go on, I did want to let you know that Kel
yeah.
has joined us. So welcome, Kel.
Oh.
Glad you could join us.
Well, hi, Kel. So happy.
Hi.
Did you get to hear the last piece, Kel, to read it?
I didn't hear it, but I did read it, and this is absolutely a beautiful poem. I love his phrasing and metaphors and everything. It's just absolutely beautifully done. I can't say that there's any particular bit that I appreciate more than the rest of it, because all of it just blends together so well. Is it beautiful? Good job, Jaskaran.
Yeah, indeed. He has a way of writing that just captivates emotion throughout every line, I think, and just breathes, you know, spirituality, like Pam said. And Martha, what did you think of this amazing write?
Oh, I think it's got some awesome lines and such wonderful imagery. It's just really an amazing write. Anybody would be proud to write something like that.
Yeah, indeed. And we finished the carryovers, so I'm going to go into the new contest I put up. So I'm going to put up a piece by Grant here, and Rising Early Morning. And is Jean back or not? Is she there? Who read last? Pam, can you give this a read for us, please?
I would be happy to. All right. This is Rising Early Morning by Grant G., and it goes like this. Rising early morning, people that won't lay down. Poverty, hunger, murder all over dusty ground. There's bustle, there's hustle. Children for sale can be found. Machine gun toting leaders, Taliban men screaming loud. Girls for school, no, that ain't cool. We need those girls for obedient wives. Do not rise in the morning different. Your opinion won't make us smile. We need your heart and thinking. White poppies will it rest your mind. For simply under our rule, different ain't allowed. End poem.
Yeah, and I said just wow, Grant. The image he wrote to was a field of white, like white tulips there, and it had springing up amidst them a couple of red tulips here and there, and they looked like blood stains, you know, throughout the white field. And the title of that photo was different, and I think he captured that prompt in such a unique, creative way here. You know, it's powerful, it's heartfelt, and it's so deep, his right here. You know, those red tulips as blood splattered through a field of white, and just so cleverly written here. And you know, it holds back. It doesn't hold back any punches, this write. And Rex, what did you think of Grant's write?
He bites hard at a totally different culture than the West is actually used to. They're reaped in their ancient ways, and they haven't really come out of that. I guess most people would think of it as a Middle Ages motif as to who and what they are and what they mean to the land and their history. So they haven't actually moved further on than what most of the rest of the world has done, but they still live in that time beyond which most consider normality. And it's hard, but it's truthful and honest.
Yeah, that's so true. You know, children for sale can be found, machine guns, the Taliban men screaming loud, girls, no school, there's no school, and we need those girls for obedient wives. He just, you know, he pulls everything into this and just screams it back at us, you know, like wake up to this reality here. And Pam, what did you think of this write?
I thought this was extremely poignant and hard-hitting. as always, he's got these great short, impactful lines. And he writes about a brutal truth of many cultures. You know, children for sale can be found. Sadly, with the marketing that goes on throughout the world, there are many who are unfortunately for sale. The stanza, "Girls for school, no, that ain't cool. We need the old girls for obedient wives," really hit hard for me, because and there are those cultures that really feel that women should not be educated. And I believe by putting those lines in there, he reminds us that all people, no matter how their minds work, no matter what sex they are, no matter what race they are, should have the opportunity to get themselves an education. I really found the "white poppies will arrest your mind" a creative line, and the idea that it kind of gives me thought, the idea of feeling like women can simply be distracted if they're offered up a pretty gift or something beautiful. I also like how this touches on the idea that, too often people want to hold down or push away those who think differently. So powerful, right, and very well done.
Absolutely. And Cal, what did you think of this write?
Well, I think this can go in several different ways. It's a very societal poem, and it can really be hard. It's hard-hitting, very hard-hitting. But I see it as, for one way, there's a means to accept the way things are in different societies, but there's also the fact that it could be going in a sarcastic way as well, saying, well, this is the way things are there. That doesn't make them right. Well, it doesn't necessarily make them wrong either, because it's the way they've always lived. And it's all a matter of perspective. The part where children for sale can be found, that is probably the hardest part of all. Because it's very true that, a lot of these places, they will sell their children, and that's sadder than hell. But like I was saying too, it's a different world, and it's hard for us to accept it. But even here in America, stuff like that happens all the time, and it's awful. It's absolutely awful. So, that's just all, saying that it can go in several different directions, and not all of them are right, and not all of them are wrong. It's our perspective. So that's it.
Yeah, I think I see what you're leaning towards, like not to judge a culture on just a few that, like the Taliban are there, but, don't judge the whole culture on just a few that mess everything up and make everything, evil. Don't judge a country on just a few that come in and take over and, I get that. And yeah. Martha?
I really liked it. I think it's a strong emotive write that expresses the truths that are really hard for us to face, but they're still out there.
Yeah. And Jean?
Well, I like this piece, and I thought that the poem screamed, open your eyes, world. These are realities, not fantasies. And, in that respect, I think he did a great job. I mean, we all have our ways of needing to put our thoughts out there in front of the world, so people open their eyes and pay attention. There's a lot of things that just aren't really acceptable in this world. And Grant took it absolutely, More power to him.
Yeah. Yeah, a very powerful piece indeed. So I'm going to put up a piece. If Rex, you can give this piece a read here by Lucy Ryan.
Questions for Quills by Ricky Rhymes. If a hand-cut goose feather quill wrote a poem, as my head hollowed out my downy pillow, and my body lies wrapped in green silk sheets, what would its nib write on my skin's parchment while listening to a king's diadem with sapphire accents through a gem prison? Puppeteer strings flamingo concerto, so quills calligraphy form words that tweet. Yakety yak, swoosh, swish sergeant, calls Cajun, calls cadence, for crimson blood ink marching from shafts reservoir through its veins window, peaks in my dreams unveiling a disco. Lines chart the flight path of a parakeet, surfing breeze from mimosa ornaments, the kangaroo paw blooms pollinating, pirates sailing the seas light gunpowder, in their cannon, kaboom, mass sticks drumbeat, bang, rat-a-tat, chook, chook, boom, heartbeat. The sapphire's accents through a gem prism shines in my dreams unveiling a disco, life that listens to a king's diadem, parading through the castle hall shadows. Sound, bang, rat-a-tat, tat, chook, chook, boom, beat, gunpowder and cannons, kaboom, drumbeat. And punk.
And it's amazing how he took that photograph and was inspired to write this, like, fantastic, unique poem. And his use of onomatopoeia here, it's just amazing. And so wonderfully worded, you know, the wordplay in this is just so amazing, you know. The imagery, oh my gracious, you know. And Pam, what did you think of this amazing write?
I think Pam stepped away for a minute.
Okay, well, I'll ask Eugene then.
Well, I thought it was a great piece. I thought there was a lot of, I only used the word swing. There was swing to the words. It had a nice way about it. The cadence was very well done. The words were fun. You know, it kind of gave it a whole different vibe. You know, it wasn't same old, same old. And I liked that, and I enjoyed it. And Lex, you did a great job reading it. You know, definitely. I liked the last two stanzas, the last two lines of the last two stanzas. I thought they really stood out on their own, and he did a great job.
Oh, indeed. Peaks in my dreams unveiling a disco. Yeah, with all the words in there, it was like you were under disco lights. It just popped, this poem. It would have fit in well with my pop art contest, too, I guess. And Rex, you read that so amazingly. What did you think of this poem?
Well, I'm going to answer the title, Questions for Quills. How many words could a feathered quill quill if a feathered quill could quill? And it's sitting right here in front of you. And like you said, with plenty of onomatopoeia to and alliteration to actually enhance the abstract, not only the art form of the piece, the picture itself, but the abstract nature of the voice that comes from that picture within this piece as it's writ.
Oh, indeed. Like, he had the word diadem in here, and, you know, this piece just shined, you know, with the wordplay like a diadem. And, Cal, what did you think of this piece?
Wow.
To
get that from that picture is just really imaginative. Wow. Puppeteers strings, flamingo concertos, the quills, calligraphy, form words that sweet, yakety yak, swish, swish, sergeant. Oh my goodness, it just goes from one thing to another. It's like a litany of formations. It's just really wonderfully done, and it's got a lot of pizzazz. Fantastic, right?
Yeah. And Martha?
I really liked it. It made me think of those swashbuckling pirate movies with all the sword play and the dancing around, and it just brought that to mind for me.
Yes, amazing comment there, Martha. Okay, we're going to put up a SoundCloud by, is Pam back?
Yeah. I am back.
Oh, well, did you want to comment on that amazing piece then, Pam?
I didn't quite get to digest it enough, so I'll
go
ahead and
skip to
the next one.
No, it's okay. We're going to put up a piece by Diane, and she has a SoundCloud. So
right.
I'm going to pop that in here. Okay. There it's in.
Saffron Silhouette by Diane D. A brilliant ape to soak her timbers in golden glazes of the sphere-like calm. Perfectly poised, she poses statingly, casting a statuesque silhouette that etches the epicenter of euphoria on nature's lava-coated canvas. Her message is of purity, though excellent. Encapsulated within a twilight horizon, shades of innocence surround her like an amber bubble of liquid ambiance. In stillness, her confidence leaps, apricot arrogance in an honorable sort of way. Ablaze in fiery aloneness, she commands that one breathtaking instant in time. Draw the signature of the sun on the sky that reveals scorches of tattletale ink. The rooted royal stands elegant in her air, lulling in a trance-like rotation around her. Take in her regal beauty, inhale the awe of her faultless figure. Her air astounds the landscape and robs it of its lean existence. Scattering orange clout, she stains the sky, and the sumptuous specks of sweat glisten a quiet goodbye until breath rotates again. End poem.
Well, this was just like such a beautiful, eloquent right here, Dee. It was spiritual and calming with the serenity you feel when you just seep into every line here. And I felt like the personification of this amazing tree, this whole picture, just like a commanding regal queen here. And, you know, I love the lines, the signature of the sun on the sky. What an amazing image that creates, and it's just a stellar poem here. And Rex, what did your thoughts, please?
Well, I love taking pictures like this. You get that right perspective, you got the balance, and you get that perfect view of as above, so below. But I would have waited and taken a second picture with the sun at the back, so you get that perfect perspective with the colored notes from the full grass on the side to the right, so you it matches up to the green on the left, because right now it's kind of a little burnt because of the sun streaming through. But that's that. But as for the voice that rings in this, the colored notes from the where is it? Amber bubble of liquid ambiance, fiery aloneness, scorches of rattle, tattletale inks. That thoughts are rooted royal is a perfect notation for the how the picture sits itself. And then the orange clout, she stains the sky. So it's got a very great, colorful thought of description to the picture itself. And the saffron silhouette is a nice embodiment for the title itself as well.
Oh, I agree. She has amazing imagery and metaphors throughout this. And Pam, your thoughts on this poem?
This is absolutely beautiful. I thought Saffron Silhouette was a perfect title for it. I love the imagery throughout, but more important, what I really like is that, as you said, the personification of the tree, who is the personification of a woman who is poised, who is regal, who is intelligent and honorable. I really like her messages of purity and excellence encapsulated within a twilight horizon, and ablaze and fiery aloneness she commands, that one breath taken instant in time. I really like the idea that this tree represents the empowerment of those who stand alone and don't follow the crowd. I also really like the imagery of scattering orange clout, she stains the sky, and a sumptuous specks of sway glisten a quiet goodbye until breath rotates again. There's a very serene ambiance to the ending of this poem that gives thought to the idea that life, you know, rotates in circles and you know, that will come back around. So beautifully written and very well done.
That was an amazing comment there, Pam. And Kel, your thoughts on this poem?
Oh, I agree with everyone. This poem, it has such an ambiance and an atmosphere to it. It's absolutely elegant. And there was another word I was going to use. Well, glorious. It's just beautiful. But, yeah, it's transcendent. It's very transcendent, and it's just beautiful work. I wish I could write like that.
Yeah, Diane, she does it every time. Did I interrupt you, Kel?
No, you did not.
Okay. Oh, okay. Yeah. I was just going to say that Diane has an amazing, amazing pen. I'm so happy that she writes, you know, for our contests, you know, like every week she doesn't skip one, and, you know, and I'm sure she's listening to us right now. And so, Diane, just thank you. And thank you so much for the SoundCloud. It's such a pleasure to hear your voice. And Martha, what did you think about this brilliant write?
I thought it was wonderful. It's so perfect to the prompt, and it's got such wonderful word images, and it's just an awe-inspiring write.
Yeah, indeed it is. And Jean, your thoughts?
Whoever told her I have thoughts? Jeez Louise. Actually, I thought this was a beautiful version of that chosen prompt. I thought it was very well done, had great imagery. Yet it was a wonderful standalone poem, not reliant on that image. And that always means a lot, you know. I mean, it was a perfect take on the image, but it didn't need the image to carry itself, which is key. I really enjoyed it, and I loved the thoughts that she drew from that picture. I mean, it was pretty amazing. Nice work.
Yeah, I love that you said that. It is a standalone poem. I mean, it's just amazing. Okay, I'll have the next write up. And Cal, if you'll give that a read for us, please.
Certainly. Hope Rising by Just Old Me. Ignore my cat knocking on the window, okay? A droplet rises.
I popped mine outside. My cat, she was just meowing.
Like 3 or 4 times now, and he keeps running off. So for now, he can wait until I read this poem. But he's not going to stop, so here we go. A droplet rises, suspended an inch above its blue ripple, and gazes at the world beyond water, where blackbirds soar and gray clouds burst their jagged bolts. This puddle, an arm outstretched, shudders at the droplet's path as gravity cackles at the splash, and its rose-colored glasses, his talons curl like the settling waves. But the droplet, a wet orb of what if, grins at the midday sun, her distant rising and falling cousins, and bends light into a spectrum of color from crimson red to the violets in Monet's garden. Nothing gold can stay, but this droplet bursts rainbows for a breath. End poem.
Oh, I just love the composition of this poem. A wet orb of what if. And then, you know, of color from crimson red to the violets of Monet's garden. And nothing gold can stay, but this droplet bursts rainbows even for a breath. This is absolutely breathtaking, the way he took this picture and composed this, beautiful, beautiful imagery, like all through this. And Rex, your thoughts on this poem?
It's all about change, and he hits on it in the middle of this piece. As gravity cackles at the splash and its rose-colored glasses, his talons curl like the settling waves of the droplet, a wet orb of what if, grins at the midday sun. But it's hitting on that notation of change. And if you wear your rose-colored glasses, you miss the thought of colors that come along with the change. Whether it's the blue, the black, the magentas, or the yellow in the sun, it doesn't matter. But if you go around with rose-colored glasses, you miss the thought of that which comes to pass quickly, easily, and spontaneously in the moment.
This is an amazing comment. See, I see more deepness into that poem now after your comment. So thank you. Pam, your thoughts?
I thought this was just absolutely beautiful. I like how within a brevity he pays tribute to the science of gravity. I really like that line, as gravity cackles at the splash and its rose-colored glasses, his talons curl like the settling wave. I also like that he references the violets in Monet's garden and even gives a nod to Robert Frost with the line, nothing gold can stay. And I like that he does remind us that, you know, that ripple that quickly disappears is but a few seconds of beauty, but it's worth remembering. It's worth noticing. And so just absolutely very well done.
Oh, I absolutely agree. And Martha?
Well, I thought it was a wonderful way to represent the truth that if you want to see above what you see now, you have to rise above it and look beyond it. I thought it was really good.
Amazing comment there. And Cal.
Wow. Oh, I'm saying that a lot. This is really an amazing little poem. about something as simple as a droplet. And it's just so well done. And it's beautiful, absolutely beautiful. And he put so much vision into it. It's really an amazing little write. Beautiful. And I agree with Pam. I love the reference to Monet's garden because he's one of my favorite painters. Just beautiful.
Yeah, indeed. The references he has in, like Pam said, to Frost also, that line, the way he popped that in, and every line is just so amazing throughout here. And Jean, your thoughts on the poem? Yes, I think you have thoughts again. Jean on mute.
Well, yes, I was. Yes, I was. I thought that this was a well-done piece. I thought it was a great take on the prompt again. And I picked this cluster of lines. But the droplet, a wet orb of what if, grins in the midday sun, her distant rising and falling cousin, and bends light into a spectrum of color from crimson red to the violets of Monet's garden. Something about that I just thought was really well, I don't know, it was captivating in its own way. A wonderful cluster of lines there, I thought, and it was awesome work. So very much enjoyed it. And nice work, just me. Mm-hmm.
Oh, yes, indeed. Yeah, he excuses himself. He was polite. He messaged me, and said he was so sorry he couldn't phone in, and that he hoped we'd enjoy his ride and have a good show. So I say hi, and hi from all of us. So I have the next write-up by Oak Blue, and Martha, I'm going to get you to read that for us, please, if you
all would. Right. Living Out a Dream I Never Knew I Had by Oak Blue, 34. In the early light of day, our zodiacs landed on a beach filled with the sand and odor of 100,000 king penguin pairs and their brown furry chicks going about their business as if we weren't there. Guides ask us to stay within orange cones set out on the beach. We did, but penguins and chicks wandered among us, some with curiosity, most with better things to do. My wife sat on the ground, hopefully enticing a penguin or two to visit, and so they did, pecking at her boots, stopping the pairs as if having a conversation between themselves about who we were, why we'd come, when we'd leave, until one chick began to pick at my wife's glasses, which caused panic among our guides, who shooed the resident away, herded us off, as if there was some real danger beyond the concern of corporate lawyers wary of a lawsuit. Images of the day didn't do it justice. We soon parted for another nature rendezvous, thinking all the while this was not a zoo, but a real place on southern Georgia Island in the southern Oregon Ocean.
That was an amazing read there, Martha. Thank you so much. And I love how he took the prompt that I'd put up. It was of penguins. And he put in a real picture of, you know, one of his pictures there of his wife amidst the penguins there. And, you know, there's deepness to this prompt when you think of it, you know, as if there was real danger beyond the concern of corporate lawyers wary of a lawsuit. And that in the end, when he says, you know, all the while thinking this was not a zoo, but a real place, you know, real nature, you know, not animals in a zoo, but animals in nature that you can really, you know, be amidst and be you know, touch and feel, and it's not the same thing, but there's always that danger, you know, that there'll be a lawsuit if anything happens, you know. So there's that duality there, that between, you know, the purity of nature and the, you know, the kind of like an ugliness there of lawyers and lawsuits I found there in this piece there. But this was an amazing recount of this memory that he captured here on this page. And Rex, what did you think of this, right?
It's quirky with a touch of humor that hits on the irony born in that those first couple lines. In the early light of day, our zodiacs landed on a beach filled with the sound and odor of 100,000 king penguin pairs and their brown furry chicks going about their business as if we weren't there. The sound and odor of 100,000 king penguin pairs and their chicks. Now that's a heavy note of irony, because you're going to see the penguins, but you know you're going to see a lot, but you don't think of 200,000 penguins and their little brown chicks to boot. And yeah, they're going to make a hell of a mess, and it's probably going to stink a bit, but you don't really imagine that in your mind until you step on that and say, oh, wow, now it's real. But look at the size of that penguin, that chick, that little brown chick. That'll give you an idea of just how big Mama and Daddy are. A lot bigger than that little bubber. But everything else hits on that note of, yeah, and the thought with the back end of this is when you go out on trips like this, there's a lot of paperwork to sign. You got to stick within the draw of what the corporate guides tell you to do. And if you don't, all of a sudden, things end quickly, and it kind of puts a ruffle in the feather of what you're there for in the first place, and that is to experience.
Mm-hmm. So true. Amazing comment there. And yeah, I have that. I have these images there, and even have the smell now that, with your comment there, Rex.
Well, he put that note right up front, so it sits as a nice tone of irony, because you don't really think about it until you're there and you realize, ooh, yeah, it's real.
Yeah. And Kel, I hear you chuckling. What are you, your comments on this?
Oh, thank you for the realities there, Rex. Oh, I think it was really, really awesome, you know, putting in a personal memory of this nature walk with his wife, and just, you know, and adding a little bit about, you know, the worrying about lawyers and all that crap, you know, and the crap. So it's just really, really a very interesting read. You know, it's just, it almost makes you want to go, except you don't want to step in anything or be pecked. So it's, yeah, really wonderful, right?
Yeah, it is. And Martha?
I thought it was really great. I love the word imagery and the way right from the first line it just draws you in and takes you right on the adventure with them right to the end. It's a beautiful ride.
And it is indeed. And Pam, your thoughts?
I really enjoyed this. This would just be an amazing experience. I like that he shared this with us along with the picture. And I have to say that third stanza with the ending line of the resident away herded us off as if there was some real danger beyond the concern of corporate lawyers wary of a lawsuit. So really just clever lines there and very well done.
Yeah. And Jean.
Well, you know, I thought this was, he did a great job. I love that he shared this real memory moment in his life. And I thought it was nicely penned and much enjoyed the tale. Nice work.
Yes. Absolutely. And Martha, I'm going to put up your second song, so we have a SoundCloud for that. Whenever you're ready, it's in. Play that SoundCloud for us. Jean?
Oh, okay. Yes, I can do that. Sorry.
Or Pam?
yeah, let me find that. Okay, here we go.
Heart Over Mind.
Heart Over Mind by Martha Gettle. My mind tells me go, my heart tells me stay. I don't know what to do on any given day. You make me feel like I can't even cry. I feel like I'm all used up inside. You've got me dancing with my fears and denying the reason for my fears. I feel like I'm on the outside looking in, and every day, here we go again. I feel like I'm used up inside, and my heart needs a place to hide. I feel like you took the best of me, and what's left, no one else would ever need. My mind keeps telling me to kick you out, but then my heart starts to scream and shout. I love him so, and I can't let him go. And so I keep holding on to you, you know. I feel like I'm all used up inside, and my heart needs a place to hide. I feel like you took the best of me, and what's left no one else would ever need. My heart keeps telling me to hold on, and my mind tells me his love is dead and gone. My heart tells me I can't let him go. My mind says he's not worth it, you know.
Yeah, I just thought that this, you captured that prompt so so amazingly well with this write. I'm going to read that prompt. The prompt was, did you ever have the feeling that you wanted to go and still have the feeling that you wanted to stay? And I thought that this song was so cleverly, you know, englobed that whole quote there, like just down to a T. Just an amazing rhythm and rhyme, and another fantastic write here, Martha. And Pam, what did you think? Pam,
there? Be right back.
Oh, well, then I'll let you talk, Rex.
Oh. I'm going to agree on your angle, maybe expand a little on that. It's on that note of not being able to let go or not willing to walk away just yet, even though, you know, it's a done deal pretty much because of how things are being leaked out. The fact that, what is it, because you hit on, my mind keeps telling me to kick you out, but then my heart starts to scream and shout. And you always get that notation. Sometimes it's best to remember what the mind tells you, even though the heart might ache in the moment. You might be a little better off if you listen to the mind once in a while over the heart, because it tells you something that the heart doesn't feel or see in the moment.
An excellent observation there, Rex. And Cal, what did you think of this write, this song?
I really enjoyed it. You've got me dancing with my fears and denying the reasons for my tears. I feel like I'm on the outside looking in. And every day, here we go again. I've been there. I can totally relate to this. I've been married 3 times.
So it is really hard to let go and to say enough is enough. You just can't take anymore. And especially when there's
kids involved. That's the one who watched the flagpole three times.
What?
Says the one who hoisted the flag up that pole three times.
And my third one was a charm, so there.
Okay, good.
Okay. I divorced the other two. That one died on me. Oh, something's not right about that.
Well, at least there's a little bit of humorous note to the irony in that one.
So, yes, this is really well done, Martha. I quite enjoyed it, and like I said, I can relate to it. It's hard. It's really hard when you want to stay together and keep things together, but you know that relationship is toxic, and you have to say goodbye no matter what. You know, you have to do it. So, very well done, darling.
Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah, it was every line there. And I can, I think this is relatable right to, you know, a lot of people, you know. Well, almost everyone. It is to me, too, because I, too, had three relationships, once married and then, you know, not married but just living together, you know, but for like 12 and 16 years. But, yeah, so, yeah, I had one marriage was enough for me, I guess. And, Jean, what did you think this write?
It was very well said. I mean, you know, I think everyone's had one experience at least in their lives where, you know, you think, oh, you know, I just should get out of this. And, you know, your darn heart keeps going, oh, but, you know, I have faith. It'll get better. It'll change. Yeah. Uh-huh. And your mind is going, I think maybe this is the time. So, you know, it's an internal conflict. You know, we have to kind of convince ourselves that we're right, you know, which is sad but true. But I think it was well stated, Martha. Good job.
Thank you.
Yeah, it was an amazing song. Brilliantly composed, Martha. And great sing too. I have the next write up. Cal, would you give this a read, please, for us? By Mamia.
My help if I unmute. Gripping on the Event Horizon by Mamia. It's like opening a door and finding nothing behind it other than whispering shadows, incessant whispers like sand grating over sand in an endless desert. It's the weight of nothingness that pulls you down like a black hole into a singularity. Every day I try to crawl out of the event horizon. Sometimes I get out. More often than not, I'm claimed by the darkness, wrapped in zero Kelvin. Then I open my eyes and see the light of the sky from my windowsill. The birds sing and fly. Children frolic along. The world has passed me by. I long to join them and feel that alien joy. But I am just numb. End poem.
And she completely captured the prompt here. The prompt was, I hate that feeling when you're not necessarily sad, but you just feel really empty. And, you know, that feeling of emptiness it comes out there with the use of the word numb in that last stanza. It just nails it perfectly. And Rex, what did you think of this write by Mamia?
You're right, she did do well with the prompts here and the thought, opening a door, finding nothing except whispering shadows, incessant, like sand grating, over an endless desert, the black hole singularity. Then that thought with the event horizon, you seemingly get to that point, and I sometimes get at, but more often than not, you're not. But really, she got a couple of things. I can claim by the darkness wrapped in zero Kelvin as a heavy thought to being empty and captured in that moment of hard darkness. And then, the world has passed me by, and alien joy, but I am just numb. There is the heavy note is depressive. It's forlorn. It's quashing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, more often than not, I'm claimed by the darkness wrapped in zero Kelvin. Wow, just that stanza right there. And Jean, what did you think of this write? Jean, are you on mute? Jean.
I am, but hang on. So if you can go somewhere else and then come back to me, that would be wonderful.
Yeah. Okay, Martha, what did you think?
Martha dropped.
Okay. Well, good night, Martha, and thank you for hanging out with us as long as you did. It so appreciate it. And Cal?
Oh, I thought it was very well done. I like Mamet's poetry anyway. It speaks a lot to, you know, feeling like you don't have a part of things. And that it's hard. But, you know, she phrased it in a very beautiful way. So I really enjoyed it.
Yeah. It's very powerful, eh? Very deep and powerful, this rite. And Pam, your thoughts on this rite?
This is a beautiful, haunting, and poignant rite. I really like how she uses the imagery and the metaphors that refer to space to represent the nothingness that felt inside. And I really like how in that last stanza she uses the phrase, I long to join them and feel that alien joy, that she captures the idea of not having the feeling of joy by calling it something alien, something that she herself is not able to recognize. Absolutely a stunning rite and very well done.
Yeah, indeed. And I have a write-up for you, Rex, to read by Daniel DeShino.
Sure.
Give that a read for us, please.
Flatland by Daniel DeShino. Nice pick. There is a path ahead, a road to be traveled, and if the line I follow, then one-dimensional, my life will be. I glance to the right to see what darkness I may become, a mirror glance to the left, and the angels sing of my worth. With what cosmic force to the atoms of which I am made drives my destiny, or just mere thought to control the foundation of the universe? I look down and see everything that was. I look up and see everything that will be. I walk the path in three dimensions and search for yet another way. And poem.
Yeah, I was amazed by this rite that he, you know, he took that prompt, and I don't know if you know the book Flatland by Edwin Abbott. It's like a satirical novel, and in it it has two-dimensional worlds and one-dimensional world, and it kind of it poses women like gender against each other, like women are one dimensional, whereas men, they become multidimensional. And there's a whole thing in it, you know, there's like the space land, and it's really, and he took that image of the trees and, you know, that one path, and just created an amazing poem, you know, and his inspiration was that book too. And I thought that, you know, it has a lot of philosophical questions in this write, you know, that you can take it more like on a personal level, like indeed, is there more to my life? What other paths have I not yet explored? It's an invitation, you know, to open up and search deep inside and explore all the possibilities that lay before you. Just an excellent write, you know, to start off the new year. Daniel, just bravo on this write. And Pam, what did you think of this, Daniel's amazing write?
Oh, it absolutely was amazing. I really like the imagery in this. It's been the strength within the lines. The second stanza particularly stands out to me with the idea of, I glance to the right to see what darkness I may become, a mere glance to the left and the angels sing of my worth. It really, there's this whole idea of the duality of self, the light and the dark. And I really also like drives my destiny, or just mere thought, to control the foundation of the universe. The idea that everything is connected, including the universe and the mind of man, is really a thought-provoking lines and idea. So very well done.
Yeah, amazing comment there, Pam. And Rex, what did you think of this amazing write?
Well, he hits on the magical thought of three, the yin and yang and the whole, also man, woman, and the whole. And there's a note to the evil and angelic. And then again, the fact that you can't have one without the other. So there, and again, you got the third, which is the whole, which kind of transposed itself onto the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, also a three. So then you hit on that sort of the atoms of which I am made drives my destiny, or just mere thought to control the foundation of the universe. Again, that that note to humanity's thought, what drives us? Is it our expression to control that which is, or do we have a destined path? And then he hits on, I look down and see everything that was. I look up and see everything that will be. Then you hit on that notion of as above, so below. Also a little bit of spiritual contact. And then then he hits on the very last one, I walk in three dimensions, which clearly you see with that picture, and often the path that's offered up ahead, and search for yet another way. And that isn't so much the fourth dimensional or even the fifth dimensional angle. It's the thought of, is there something beyond that I might tap into?
Yeah, amazing comment there. okay, I only have a couple of minutes left. Pam, I have to put up your right. Well, can you give it a read there? I have it in, because this is an amazing poem.
We can just skip it, and you can just wrap the show up.
Oh, okay.
Thank
do
you.
I have time? I can. Okay. We'll put it. But this was an amazing, amazing write. We have about 2 minutes left. I don't think we have time for another one. Just say thank you to everybody for writing. And it's so appreciated every time you write and send SoundClouds. We just amazed by every SoundCloud every time, and welcome you to write in again, you know, in our next contest, and check out Pam's contest, Baskets of Fruit. It's just an amazing, amazing prompts there, and there's still place to write. And thank you, Rex, for stopping by, and Cal, and Martha, and thank you to my amazing co-hosts. for letting me do this show. Like, it's like I just get excited every Tuesday. And would you have anybody have anything else to add? Like Jean or Sam?
Yeah,
Happy New Year.
We don't have to tell after ours tonight. And tomorrow night we have, it's my show for The Art of Seduction. So surprise, surprise. And there was a contest up out there. So if anybody's interested, just take a peek on the contest board. And in the meantime, that's about it. We're out of time. Great show, Naomi.
Okay. Okay. So thank you, everybody. Sorry, there'll be a bit of few carryovers again, but not a lot. I think just two. So we'll put them on the next show. So thank you, everybody. Good night.
Good night, everybody. Good night. Thank you.
Night.